I gotta pray, right? Need to pray first. Come on. Let's pray. Yes, I turned it on. Let's pray and we'll worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we just invite your presence here, Lord. Be enthroned in the praises of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I'll raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the
I'm
darkness. You're the only right among the wrong. You're the only hope among the chaos. You are the voice that calls me on. Louder than every lie, my sword in every fight, the truth will chase away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle.
See it. Your name is power.
like you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Promise still stands, great is your
my confidence. You never.
give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your presence tonight, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn it on.
You're on.
I thought I was. That means you guys. Did you have me off while I was singing, I hope? Good thing. I think I want you to go to Romans chapter 1 for a second here. Romans chapter 1. I want to just take off where we left off Sunday morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. I ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word tonight. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Notice Paul doesn't say, I, the apostle Paul. Paul says, I'm a bondservant. The word apostle really wasn't so much a title. It comes from a word shulchan, which means table. An apostle was one who served, who spread the table to feed people. And what did Paul feed? The Gentiles, the word of God. Amen. So he says, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Amen. Paul sums it all up right there. When he says Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Sunday morning we talked on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Nothing's done that's not done by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The words to Zerubbabel, it's not going to happen, Zerubbabel, by your power or your might, but my power, says the Lord. By my spirit, says the Lord. So turn over to Romans 8. And we'll probably camp out there. You know, after the apostles got filled with the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, we see Peter up preaching the gospel. The same Peter who hid himself, you know, denied Christ. Something's happened to him. He's had an experience. He's up preaching. He's preaching to the very people that he was afraid of earlier, telling them, hey, this Jesus whom you crucified, this is proof positive that he is alive and seated at the right hand of God. So Jesus promised us he would send one, a comforter, a guide, a teacher. And he did that when he sat down at the right hand of the Father and he's poured out his Spirit. So we now, as Christians, as Spirit-filled Christians, are to be led by the Spirit of God and not our flesh. Amen? You know, our spirit man wants to get up early and spend time with God. Our flesh man, especially on a cold morning, wants to stay under the covers, you know, just a little bit longer. So let's pick it up in verse 8, because Paul's going to talk about living after the Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul says, listen, there's no condemnation, there's no guilt to anyone who is in Christ Jesus, who is walking according to the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
I see, and you know what? I've seen a lot of Christians in my time in ministry, and they struggle themselves with guilt and condemnation on their own self. They don't need somebody else to do it. They struggle from it.
Amen.
But according to the Word of God, if I'm in Messiah Jesus
and I'm living by the Spirit of God, I don't have to carry any guilt or condemnation. Amen. Verse 2 of Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Glory to God. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he is not his. See, that's how Paul said, this is how we distinguish who's God's and who doesn't belong to God. Those who are filled with the Spirit belong to God. That's going to be important here in a minute. And if Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You know, if truly we believe the Spirit, the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus, let's say it another way, the same power that resurrected Jesus dwells in us, then I don't believe there's anything that we should fear. Not at all. Because Jesus never feared death. He was fully trusting that God the Father would reach into the grave and resurrect him by that power. Now that power that overcame death dwells in us. Amen. Amen. So we have nothing to fear. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So I'm going to ask you something, because here in a minute we're going to look at a text, and you're going to need to know, how do you differentiate between regular people and the sons of God or the children of God? Because they are led by the Spirit. All right? So if they're led by the Spirit, then we should be able to see fruit of the Spirit, right? Like Paul talked about in Galatians, love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, patience, faithfulness, and what else? And self-control. Against these there is no law. Amen. Very good. So, if we are sons of God, we are led by the Spirit, we should be, the fruit of the Spirit should be seen in us. Amen. That's the light we're to let shine. You know, people say, well, you shouldn't judge anybody. Well, that's not really true. Jesus didn't say you shouldn't judge anyone. He said you judge their fruit. Amen? And so as a Christian, I certainly hope that I'm being judged by the fruit I'm producing. And hopefully we're being led by the Spirit, so we're producing the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 15. For you, what? Go ahead. Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely you should. No, that's different. If that's not really, that's trying to save somebody from hell. You're not really judging them. You're just saying, hey, you know,
That's one of those things when you go to someone and you say, "Could I tell you what Jesus did for me? You know, have you got a minute for me to tell you what Jesus did for me?" You know, I think there's a difference between witnessing and trying to save somebody, than, huh? Okay. So there is a difference there. So he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." You know, I hate to repeat myself as much as I have with what I'm about to say, but here's the heart of God. Here was the goal of God, to fill you with His Spirit, for God to dwell in the tabernacle that He made. I can't get that message through enough to people. I'm not. Amen. Verse 16. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Messiah. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Listen, you know, in this country, at least not yet, you know, there are people who suffer in this country, but I'm going to tell you, the suffering in this country cannot be compared to West Africa. You know, those countries or other places around the world, all right? But Christians around the world are suffering. They are being persecuted. And they're doing their best in this country to persecute Christians. There is a real war on Christianity. But look what Paul said. Paul says, "If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Now, right before he said that, he says, "You're joint heirs with Messiah." Joint heirs for what? Well, we're going to see here in a minute. Paul says in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Now, who are the sons of God? Those who are led by the Spirit of God, right? But something's going to happen to those sons of God that is going to cause all of creation. See, it says, "The earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." The sons of God, someday when Jesus descends, will put on immortality. Amen. The dead in Christ will rise. Amen. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." In other words, all creation is waiting to be renewed. There's a new heaven and a new earth. Remember? And he goes on, verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together unto now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." See, our redemption won't be complete until this mortal puts on immortality. "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Now, nobody likes that word perseverance, but we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We will persevere. We will overcome. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." When we were talking about the weapon of praying in tongues Sunday morning, it's the Holy Spirit
It's God praying through us. There's not a better prayer we could pray than allowing God to pray through us. 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when the Holy Spirit, when you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is praying the will of God through you. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What is God's purpose for us? To be made in the image of Jesus. Amen. I think our purpose is the same. We are to be witnesses unto him. Now our vocation might be different. You know, what we do for a living might be different. But we have the same purpose. To be a light in a dark place. Amen. Some are called. I'm called to minister in a pulpit. But I'm still required to let my light shine every day. Amen. To be made in his image. Look at verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Did you know that Jesus is not only your Lord, your Savior, your soon coming King, your High Priest, the Lamb of God, but he's your elder brother? Amen. He's the firstborn. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Did you know that when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, he was glorified? Amen. But did you know that when you accepted Jesus into your heart, the Spirit of God come to live in you, that now you had been glorified, because now spiritually you're seated with him? Apostle Paul tells us. Then he goes on to say, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I'm amongst friends here, so I can say it. No liberal, no Democrat, no communist, no globalist, no Muslim should be feared. And even though they might be against us, let's read the rest of the story. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You know, Christianity is under attack. They are coming against us. But it's God who justifies. And let me keep reading. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Jesus. The Apostle Paul refers to us as more than conquerors. You know, R.W. Shambach gave me the best definition of a conqueror one time. He said, when Evander Holyfield beat Mike Tyson, he was a conqueror. Got $20 million for that fight, both of them fight. But he took the check home and he gave it to Mrs. Holyfield. She now became more than a conqueror. She didn't get hit one time. She didn't work up a sweat. She didn't have to hit nobody. She didn't have to take all those punches from Mike Tyson. See, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. So he gives us the check. Amen. We're more than conquerors. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, there's never been a nation like the United States of America. And Father, the enemy is coming in like a flood, trying to rip this nation apart. But your word promises us, O God, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you would raise up a standard against him. And Father, we ask you to raise up that standard. We ask for your hedge of protection to be upon our president, Lord. And Father, I pray for the leaders of this nation. Father, I ask that you would remove the ungodly and replace them with godly leaders. Your word says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And Father, I lift up those who call this church home who couldn't be here tonight. I ask you bless them, keep them, meet every need that they have. I pray a special prayer for Gracie tonight, Lord God. Father, I just pray, Lord God, if the enemy has come in and bound her, Father, that you would set her free. Open her eyes, open her heart, heal that broken heart, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you. And Father, we just give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor for all you're doing and all you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. All the time. I think I'm getting hungry.